Fundamental Baptist Fellowship. We pray for you during the week, and we pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. And it's a real blessing to be here. Okay, let's just ask the Lord's blessing in prayer before we look at this wonderful portion of Scripture. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, again we give thee thanks for the opportunity of being here. We thank you for those that are here and those that are listening in. We thank thee, Father, for those that come constantly. And oh, Father, we do pray that each and every one might be built up in their most holy faith, even this day. Father, take the speaker and hide him behind the cross. Let no man be seen, save Jesus only. We'll be careful to give thee the praise and the glory in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. The portion of Scripture we have just had read to us from John chapter 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, is really the disciples' prayer. Our Lord said in Matthew 6, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And so that's for the disciples, that's for us. But in John chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father." And so there is a difference. So I want us to look at this wonderful prayer, which is reverently called the Great High Priestly Prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we look at this prayer, I would like to highlight a few things to you. And we will only scratch the surface of this Lord's Prayer, because time would not allow us to go into it in any depth. Folks, this is holy ground. This is the most sacred passage in all the Scriptures. I'll explain more about that later. Now, throughout this chapter 17 of John, there is evidence of the number 7. The number 7 is seen at least 3 times. There are 7 gifts given by the Father to the Son. We will look at those a little later. That's the ones we're going to concentrate on. There are 7 references to believers as the Father's gift to the Son. And there are 7 activities which was undertaken by the Son and brought to completion. 7 references to believers as the Father's gift to the Son. 7 times it's mentioned. Look at verse 2, and we'll go through these fairly quickly before we get into the main body of the message. In verse 2, it says, "As many as thou hast given me." So that's a reference to the believers, the Father's gift to the Son, "as many as thou," the Father, "hath given me," the Son. Folks, you and I who believe are part of that wonderful gift. What a gift. From the Father to the Son. Look at the 2 words. "Thou," as many as thou hast given me. Thou, me. Thou, the Father. Me, the Son. And folks, you and I have been given to the Son by the Father. And all this happens instantaneously at our conversion. When we believe, when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Once we were dead in sin, and immediately we accept Christ as Savior, we are alive in Christ. That's the Father's gift to the Son. "As many as thou hast given me." Then in verse 6 it says, "Which thou gavest me out of the world." Of course, the primary meaning here is to the disciples. He's speaking to the disciples in the early verses of this chapter. But there is a dual application, and I'll explain that in just a few moments. "Which thou gavest me out of the world." By application, it is also to us. And we go down to verse 20, and I'll mention this again later. Neither pray I for these alone. That's the disciples. That's the ones he's been praying for. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. And I'll explain that just a little bit later. Okay, verse 6 again. And thou gavest them me. So we're looking at seven references as believers who the Father give to the Son. And thou gavest them me. What a privilege to be part of a gift given to the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? We are a gift given to the Lord by the Father. Then in verse 9 it says, I pray for them which thou hast given me. And so what a wonderful thing that God and Christ prays for us, that God receives the prayers of Christ for us. And again, folks, there's no greater person than can pray for us. It's wonderful to pray for one another. It's wonderful to pray for those who are sick and so forth. But the Son is praying for us. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, prays for us. And what a blessing that is. Then in verse 11 it says, keep those whom thou hast given me. Again, talking about the believers received from God. Keep those whom thou hast given me. This word keep has the idea of preservation. It has the idea of protection from outside interference. Then in verse 12 it says, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. Folks, we are in his hand. No man is able to pluck us out of his hand. I always think of a little hymn. I'm not sure if I have ever sang it here. Certainly I've sung it in Benella Church. Harbored in Jesus. Do you remember? Harbored in Jesus, safe and secure. I'm not going to sing anymore. We are harbored in Jesus. Keep that thou gavest me. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. We're harbored in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he keeps us. Verse 24 says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, whom thou hast given me, be with me. See, we, the believers, are the Father's gift to the Son. There is never, let me say this, there is never a prayer nor a request that the Lord makes that is not answered. Why? It's always answered in the affirmative because he always prays according to the Father's will. So, whom thou hast given me, be with me. And then the request comes again in John 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There you may be also. I want you to notice the words are many mansions. I hear a lot of people preaching in these days and over the years about these mansions that the Lord, being a carpenter, has gone up to build. No, it doesn't say that. The word says, are many mansions. Our Lord is not building buildings for us to live in, for us. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, Willie Mullen, great evangelist from Ireland, said this. He was going to the cross to prepare the way for us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, seven references about the believers as the Father's gift to the Son. Now we look at seven activities which have been undertaken by the Lord and brought to fruition or completion. I've called these the I haves, H-A-V-E. he is. The I haves of Christ. Look at verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified thee. Folks, in everything our Lord did, in everything our Lord said, he glorified God the Father. This is why the Father was able to say of him, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I have glorified thee. Look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name. Everywhere he went, he spoke of the Father. Now, this word manifested means, and Brother Arthur mentioned it in the time around the Lord's table, this word manifested means to make known or to reveal. And just read John 14. 22 times the Father is mentioned in that chapter. In my Father's house are many mansions. And right down the chapter, 22 times the Lord speaks about his Father. I have manifested, I have made known, I have let them know thy name. Then you go down to verse 8, it says, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Folks, that's why we call the Bible of ours, this Bible of ours, the Word of God. Because it came from God. It came from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It came from God through the prophets. Came from God through the disciples and the apostles. What a blessing to have the Word of God. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And then in verse 12 it says, those that thou gavest me, I have, again, I have kept. He has power to keep all. Jude verse 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And folks, each and every one of us are kept by the hand of God. But you know, men and women will decide their own fate. Only those who know Jesus Christ are kept by Jesus Christ. There will be those, like Judas, the son of perdition, who was a thief, did not believe, will choose his own way. I have given them thy word, verse 14. I have given them thy word. Now this is similar to verse 8, which says thy words, plural. Here it is, thy word. And this is a complete word of God, the whole canon of scripture. And again, we are a very privileged people to have a copy of the complete canon of scripture in these days. But a warning, where much is given, much is expected. And God holds this book very dearly. Revelation 22:19 says this, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. God holds this book dear to his heart. Then in verse 22 it says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have. Again, I have given them. And folks, this is a wonderful thing, that we should be endowed, as it were, with Christ's glory. And it goes on to say that they may be one. And in the book of Revelation again, there is a clear teaching that the Lord is in the midst of the churches. Yes, they're local in nature, but dispensational truths are taught from them as well. Now, it's important to have unity between churches. But let me say this, a unity without union, an association without amalgamation, a fellowship without federation, and an independence without interference. That's unity. Unity with brothers and sisters in Christ who are fundamental in their beliefs, that accept and preach and teach the whole counsel of God. That's who we have union with. Verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name. And we could spend hours, weeks on the names of Christ, you know. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Nissi, El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh, many, many more names we could mention. But I have declared unto them thy name. The great and awesome God of eternity was declared unto them. You know, whenever I preach something like this from this chapter, it's almost, I almost feel like saying, folks, take the shoes from off your feet, because we're standing on holy ground. That's what God said to Moses when he approached the burning bush and God spoke to him. The great and awesome God of eternity has been manifested. And so we have, very quickly I went through them, the seven references to believers as the Father's gift to the Son. The seven activities undertaken by the Son and brought to completion, or the I haves, if you like. Now we look at the last set of seven things, which are the seven gifts given by the Father to the Son. The seven gifts given by the Father to the Son. The first gift is found in verse 2. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Power. So the first gift is power. It says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now, normally, folks, when something is given as a gift, it is yours to keep. It is yours to do as you like with. Sometimes people give me a colored $2 coin and I go to repay it and they say, no, 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 it's a gift. It's wonderful. Oh yeah, the more the merrier, no worries. But sometimes you get gifts and when you try to repay it, they say, no, 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 it's a gift. But I'm thinking about that. The greatest gift ever given is that of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We don't have to repay anything. This is a gift. A gift that we keep, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave the greatest gift to humanity, his only begotten Son. And God gave his only begotten Son the gift of power. Power over all flesh. And folks, this word power is translated from the Greek word exousia. Exousia, which means absolute unrestricted right to act. It means absolute authority. It means absolute power. There are other Greek words that are translated into similar meanings. Dunamis or dunamis, we get our word dynamite from. That's explosive power. Energia, that's where we get energy from, which means strength to work. Eskousel, that's exercise, or to have force or might. Kratos is to be vigorous. And it's interesting, as I was studying this just this week, in Ephesians chapter 1, 19 to 21, all of these, dunamis, energia, eskoua, kratos, are all included in Ephesians 1, 19 to 21, in words like power, working, mighty, wrought. Look it up, check it out, be a Berean. So they're all there and so on. Read for yourself. Folks, our Lord was given this absolute power. He reigns supreme in sovereignty. He reigns supreme in administration. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, all power, you know, all means all, and that's all means. All power is given unto me. Power to save, power to heal, power to raise the dead, power to be risen from the dead. And folks, this power gives him full authority to give eternal life to as many as believe on his name. Now I need to qualify that There is no such a thing as a universal salvation. If you've ever been taught that, get rid of it out of your mind. There's no such a thing as universal salvation. Yes, the Lord died for the whole world, but only those who believe on him shall be saved. You remember the Philippian jailer? He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, sirs, but what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, if they believe also. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the requirement. Romans 10 and 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a believing and a receiving. It's interesting to note the details. I like to search out the details. In verse 2, there's an interesting contrast. First two words, all flesh. As thou hast given power over all flesh. Secondly, as many. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see, in the one, it is unrestricted, all flesh. In the other, it is restricted to as many, those that believe. Folks, what a blessing to be numbered with the as many. Eh? As many. John 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the first gift given to the Son by the Father, as recorded in John chapter 17, is the gift of power. The second gift given by the Father to the Son is that of the believer. We've looked at that to some degree. As many as thou hast given him. This is a gift from the Father. A gift. Now, to a point, we have covered a little of this in point one, under the power that was given to him. But it says here, hath given him, not will give him. It's referring, as I said earlier, it's referring to the disciples. Hath given him, not will give him. See, we are part of the will give him in the future. It's referring to the disciples, but in a sense, as I said, has a dual application. Let's look at verse 20 again. Verse 20 again. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, folks. And these believers are mentioned in the verses we read earlier. And there's no need for the double up. But in verse 2, as thou hast given him. Verse 6, which thou gavest him. Verse 6, thou givest them me. Verse 9, but for them which thou hast given me. Verse 11, those whom thou hast given me. Verse 12, those that thou givest me. Verse 24, whom thou hast given me. And so we are a gift to God. And as I said earlier, verse 20 brings us into the equation. So I see that from verse 20 to 26 is for all believers, not just the disciples. The third gift given by the Father to the Son is the work. Look at verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. This is something God gave. This is a gift from the Father, the work. The Lord was given a great work to do. It was the work of salvation, which necessitated him going to the cross, bearing our sin in his own pure and sinless body, that we might be saved. Enough to say that our Lord was able to say the greatest three words ever spoken by man. And I would argue till the cows come home or till the Lord returns that these are the greatest three words ever spoken. It is finished. Tell me three greater words in human history. Never. Never. So enough to say, our Lord was able to say, it is finished. The work which thou gavest me to do. He became a man. He became a servant. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He finished all the work. He fulfilled all the types of the Old Testament. He paid the penalty of our sin. He defeated the devil. That is why John records in his epistle, he was manifested or made known to take away our sins. 1 John 3 verse 5. Manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 verse 8. And the Old Testament records this interesting verse. And we know it well. Isaiah 15 verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He shall not come up short. He never deviated from the left to the right. He never turned away from the work the Father gave him to do. He was sent to do a work, and he completed it and was able to say, it is finished. The work which thou gavest me to do. Number four, the fourth gift given by the Father to the Son is found in verse 7. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. This is another gift from the Father. The fourth gift given by the Father to the Son. All things whatsoever thou hast given me. Now John 3:35 says, the Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. And any of you were to turn to, you know well, John chapter 13, verse 3, which says, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. And we could go right down that whole chapter. But it's in this chapter 13 of John's Gospel, we have a sevenfold movements or actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He raises from supper. He set aside his garments. He took a towel. He girded himself. He poureth the water. He began to wash the disciples' feet, and he began to wipe them with a towel. The seven actions of the Lord whenever he was washing the disciples' feet, teaching us a great lesson, a lesson of humility, and then says, go and do likewise. All things are given into his hands. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is the embodiment of all truth. He said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. All things whatsoever thou hast given me. The fifth gift the Father gave to the Son is found in verse 8. And verse 8 says this, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. The words which thou gavest me. Now in verse 8, the Lord gives, our Lord goes on to explain what is meant by the words. And it's this, and they have received them and have known surely that it came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. And so the words which thou givest me, I give unto them. And what were these words? Well, he's just explained it. He explains that the Lord came from God. He explained that the disciples believed. He explained that God sent the Son. John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the good news of the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I like to put that in my message all the time. Because I don't know who's going to listen. I don't know who will be listening in. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. But it's only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that you shall be saved. And folks, every word of God is true. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And in John 14:6 it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 8, the words which thou givest me, another gift from the Father to the Son. The sixth gift the Father gave to his Son is found in verse 22. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. The glory which thou gavest me. This is a gift from God. The glory which thou givest me. And this glory is shared with the believers. And because of that, it causes a oneness of unity. This is the ones that have a unity. Those that have received the glory of God. A unity of believers. And this only exists between all truly born again believers. All over the world. It's a wonderful thing, folks, when you go to another country. You go into a fundamental church. And the believers are at one with you. They know where you stand. You go to Ireland, you go to England, you go to Scotland, you go to Europe, doesn't matter. If you go to a fundamental church, to those who accept Jesus Christ, preach the word and so forth, there's a oneness of the believer. Oneness. Because they're born again. Believers all over the world are one in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about, and I've mentioned this, different denominations getting together and forming a unity. That's uniformity. And in many cases, it necessitates compromise on doctrine. True unity is only found in Jesus Christ. Verse 22 again says that they may be one, and we are one. And I always appreciate coming down here to Benalla because there's a oneness. There's a oneness of the believer. We believe the same and we preach the same and so forth. John 1:14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now in your Bible that should be in brackets. Because in John chapter 1, John is going over some things which he had actually seen later on in life. Like the transfiguration, which is what he was referring to. As I was again studying this, and excuse my ignorance, but John talks about, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, referring to the transfiguration. But he does not record the transfiguration in the book of John. Mark chapter 9, 2 to 13 records it. Luke chapter 9, 28 to 36 records it. Matthew chapter 17, 1 to 13 records it. But John does not record the transfiguration. There you go. It is Luke that records these words. Luke chapter 9, verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they awoke, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him. Have you ever lay in bed at night or maybe awake on a chair sometime thinking about where you would like to be if you were given a choice in the Bible? What place you'd like to be? Well, my first choice would be on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so as I thought about that, it says all things concerning himself. And so he would have gone back into the book of Moses, the Pentateuch. He would have given lessons on the types in the tabernacle. He would have spoken about the scapegoat, the red heifer. He would have mentioned Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. And Isaac's question to Abraham, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham's reply, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I believe he would have spoke about the ram caught in a thicket, which was a picture of himself with the crown of thorns. And of course, many other scriptures. What a sermon that would have been. It would have been lovely to be there. But if I was given a second choice or another choice, I would choose the Mount of Transfiguration. What an absolute privilege these disciples had to see the glory of the Lord, the outshining of an inner excellence, and the glory which thou gavest me. What a blessing. Number 7. The 7th gift given by the Father to the Son is in verse 24. It's very similar. It says, my glory. Folks, just briefly, this glory is somewhat different from the glory which was imparted onto the child of God, as we read in verse 22-23. This glory in verse 24 is altogether unique. It is called my glory by our Lord. It is his own personal glory and unique to the Son of God. One has said, there's a man in heaven who is full of glory, sharing equally with the Father all the glory and deity, and occupying a position that belongs exclusively to deity, yet still bearing in his body the marks of Calvary that will declare throughout eternity that I am his and he is mine. The psalmist David was given the sacred honor of spiritual insight when he recorded Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord. And that's not David speaking. This is God speaking to his Son. It's explained in Matthew 22:42-44. And David records this in Psalm 110. What a privilege David had. What an insight he had. And folks, in a measure, we have that incredible privilege. We have an incredible insight because we have the full canon of Scripture. And we can read this very intimate prayer of our Lord, which I could never do justice to. We can only scratch the surface. As I said earlier, this, I believe, is one of the most sacred passages in the whole of the Word of God. That the Son of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking in prayer with his Father and our God, and we are permitted to listen in. What a privilege. We're permitted to listen to the Son speaking to the Father. Folks, when we think about it, there are very few occasions that we actually hear what Christ says in his prayers. It does say he went up the mountain to pray, and it does say that he prayed, but very few occasions. And when you look at the length of this prayer, and we are privileged, permitted to listen to it, it's a wonderful thing. 7 gifts God gave the Father. God the Father gave to the Son. The gift of power. The gift of the believer. The gift of the work. The gift of all things. The gift of his words. The gift of glory. The gift of my glory. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, what a privilege we have this day to read thy word, but not just read it, but to dwell on it and to see the very words that our Savior prayed to his Father. And Father, as we come before thee in his name, we just pray that we may have been uplifted in our most holy faith and drawn closer to yourself. We thank you for this day. We thank you for thy word. We pray that you would bless us as we close in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.